But I do want to say, first of all, thank you, Unity Baptist Church and Pastor Rutledge, for your faithful prayers and support through the years. I tried to remember how long it's been since y'all been supporting me, and I'd have to look it up because my memory is not what it used to be. So I ask you to forgive me for that, but I do want to thank you for your faithful prayers and support. The Lord did allow us to serve Him as missionaries in Australia for almost 12 years, and we thank the Lord for the work that He allowed us to do there. And I tell you here tonight, Unity Baptist Church, that you have fruit in Australia that will come out at the judgment seat of Christ that will abound to your account. And we give the Lord the glory for that. I can tell you several stories, which you don't have time tonight, but just a couple I'd like to tell you. You know, as we was going back on our second term to Australia, I was praying about going to the outback, and God redirected the way that I was supposed to go. Let me turn this on here. And sent me a different direction. You ever think you know where you're supposed to be going, and God ends up doing something and showing you that you're supposed to go somewhere else? Well, that's what God did for me. And I was going into the outback about 8 hours inland, I thought. And then God sent us about 3.5 hours southwest of Brisbane to a little town called Stanthorpe. We labored and prayed there and worked and started a little group in our home. And within a month, we outgrew our living room. And we had to look for a place to assemble. We found an old Methodist church building that was no longer being used as a church. And they was using it as a theater to produce plays and such. So we rented it from them on Sundays. And we started inviting folks, and people would come who was curious, and some would like it, some wouldn't, you know. And 6 months into the work, we saw a man come to know the Lord. He's a Catholic man named Adrian Finney. And Adrian, he came to me, and he said, he'd call me pastor. He said, "Pastor, I just don't know if I'm saved or not." No, I could see conviction on him, but I don't want to tell people they're lost. I want the Lord to show them that they're lost, because if the Lord shows them they're lost, they're going to remember they're lost. Amen. And so I witnessed to him and give him scripture, and I gave him a book to read. It was called The Dying Testimonies of the Saved and Lost. And if you can get that book, you need to get it. And it brought him under deeper conviction. And he come running in the church one evening. He said, "I got to get saved, and I got to get saved right now." I said, "Can't you wait till after service?" He said, "No, I got to get saved right now." And I was just testing, seeing how, you know, what was going on. And so we went in a little room there behind the pulpit. And he said, "What do I do?" I said, "You've heard me preach for 6 months. You know what to do. You know what to do." And he bowed and called on the Lord there. And his wife Michelle told me sometime after that, she said, "I asked God to send somebody to this town to start a church where me and my husband could go to church." I didn't know, but God did. She would go to a liberal Baptist Union church. He would go to Catholic Assembly, and neither one of them liked going to either one. And they started coming to where we were at the Granite Belt Baptist Church. And I'm glad God saved Adrian. And I could tell you more. Another I'd like to tell you about the last work the Lord has let us start. In our last term there's a young lady named Timma Rigby. Timma was a young mother of two at the time. And she come there. She just had a baby. Her youngest baby was, I guess, 2 or 3 months old, I think, or maybe not that old. And they were Mormons, and they found our church online, and we were still meeting in a home on Wednesday night Bible study. Sunday was renting a facility, but on Wednesday night we was meeting in a home and for prayer meeting. And they came for their first service on a Wednesday night, and I was really surprised they walked in and came. They'd called, just a few weeks into them coming, I preached on Nicodemus there and John chapter number 3, and God was dealing in Timma's heart. And as I gave the invitation, I could see tears running down her face, and I was asking her to come for the invitation, asking her for to be saved, and wouldn't make a move. But after church, Pastor, we was invited to go to their house for a birthday party for their second daughter, I think. And or their first or second, I can't remember how many they had, three or four. Anyway, I know they got four now. But anyway, she said, "Pastor," she said, "before we cut the cake, would you please come in the living room, or the lounge room as they would call it. Would you please come in the lounge room and tell me more about what you were saying? And Timma got saved there before we cut the cake. Amen. I'm glad that God is still in the saving business. Amen. So there is fruit that will come out of Australia that will abound to your account. And we appreciate your faithful prayers and support through the years. Currently, for the past 7+ years, God has had me serving as the director of Warrenton Baptist Mission Agency. We're located in Vicksburg, Mississippi, and we're a ministry of the Warrenton Independent Baptist Church. We're under the umbrella of the local authority of that church, and we have several missionaries serving the Lord around the world and here in the U.S. We have missionaries, the Tooleys. I think you support them. I see them back there. They're serving the Lord in England, in on furlough at the moment. We have the Villarreals in Mexico. We have the Partials in Australia. We have the Lewises that are in New Guinea. You pray for Brother Tim. I've got to have a conference call with him just after church tonight. He's got a problem with another missionary. You know, when missionaries change their doctrine, you got problems. You got problems, and you got to figure out what to do. And so do help me pray about that. And we have the McGuffeys. The McGuffeys are here with us tonight. They're missionaries in Nigeria, West Africa, and they were not supposed to be here. But the U.S. Embassy evacuated them out of Nigeria just a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I guess it is now. And so do be praying for them. Because there was civil unrest that was rising because of the COVID situation, so it's had to move them out of the country for safety reasons. So do be praying. You'll hear more about that later. But we do want to ask you to pray for us, that God will use us, and He is using us. And you know, it's not necessarily we're out front where we used to be, but God's using us behind the scenes, and we're glad to be used wherever God wants us to be. And we're glad just to be used of the Lord. So we do have other other missionaries that are working, about five, I believe it is, here in the U.S. So we'll be praying that the Lord will work through our missionaries. And not only our missionaries, but all of these missionaries, all of God's missionaries, put it that way. Amen? Amen. So it's good to see many of you here again tonight. Brother Jordan, it's good to see you again here. Brother Pennell, good to see you again. It's good to meet you, Brother King. So we're glad to be here tonight as well. So give your Bibles, Ecclesiastes chapter number 9 and verse number 4. This verse has been on my heart for just a few months now. In February, I was making a hospital visit down in Vicksburg, and I was able to go in and make a visit. My pastor put me on to it. I'd never met these people before. The wife was deaf. The husband was a hearing man. But I went to see him there that day, and he was unconscious, asleep. Or I don't know if he's unconscious or asleep, but he's unresponsive to me. And I got to talk to his wife. She could read my lips and she could speak, but she could not hear. And as I was talking to her, and I asked her if she was saved, and she said yes. And I asked her if her husband Robert was saved, and she said, "I don't know." And I asked her, how many years you've been married? And it was 40-something years that they had been married. And I thought, what an awful situation to be in, to be married to someone for 40-something years and to not know their spiritual condition. So he was not able to answer any questions for me that day. And she says, but as soon as he wakes up, she said, "I'm going to ask him." I said, "That's good. That's good." So she sent me a text just a few hours later. I was filling up gas at the gas station to put in the lawnmower to go mow the church property. And she said, "Robert's awake." And I asked him if he was saved, and he said no. And I asked if he wanted to be saved, and she said, "Yeah." He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, what am I do, Brother Jacob? Here I am at the gas station, got to go mow the church property. Tomorrow's church, the Lord's property needs to look good, amen." So I said, "Lord, just keep him alive until I can get there, amen." So we got there. I went straight home, jumped in the shower, didn't eat supper. Got my wife. We went there, and Robert begged God to save him. Long story short, it's a beautiful situation. Beautiful. Beautiful. That was in February. Just May. God took Robert home. And I was able to give testimony of his salvation there at his funeral. And I used this verse, I was reading Ecclesiastes in my devotions during that time when he passed. And this verse came to my mind, and the Lord directed me to use this verse at the funeral, and I spoke on it. I spoke a little bit about it on Sunday night as well on this verse here, but this verse has been on my heart. The Bible says here in Ecclesiastes chapter number 9 in verse number 4, "For to him that is joined to all living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion." If a living dog is better than a dead lion. I see three things here in this verse of Scripture. I see three things. I see life, I see hope, and I see death. You know, I believe if I don't really have an outline or anything, but if I titled this message, I would probably say that this was God's planned order of events for mankind. God has a planned order for people to be saved. The devil has a plan for people not to be saved. And we find here that there's life, and there's hope, and there's death. And God wants it to happen in that order. You don't find hope before you're born. Everybody here has life. It's evident. Everybody here has been born the first time. We don't know about your second birth. We can look at the evidence in your life and judge a tree by its fruit, the Bible tells us. But we see here, the Bible says that there's life, and then there's hope, and then there's death. If you get death before hope, you're going to go to hell. The reason for mission conferences is for us as saved people to be encouraged to get the hope to the living before the hope does not get to the dead. What are we doing with our hope? What are we? So many times it's easy to sit still. It's easy to get cold. It's easy to get calloused. It's easy to get in a routine and a rut. I remember seeing a sign years ago. It was a Jeep that was stuck in its ruts. It says, "Choose your ruts carefully, because you may be there a long time." God help us not to get in a rut. It's easy, I know. I've been in this thing a little while. Some of you more seasoned men of God, I look up to you. I expect men like Brother Bryant. God bless you. Hey, I thank God for faithful people that have stood by the stuff through the test of time. Hey, we have a message to proclaim, and that is the message of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in the book of Colossians, chapter number 1, and the latter part of verse number 27, it says, "Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." We're living in a world that doesn't have much hope. You look at the rioting that's going on. You look at all this thing about this, quote, coronavirus and the fear tactics that's been brought on by the media and by the government. And yes, I'm sure it is serious to an extent. But hey, 99% of the people that get this are recovering. Yes, people are dying, but people were dying before coronavirus. Over 2 people per second are going out into eternity. Over 2 people per second. Yes. And if you do not have that hope, and if our neighbors do not have that hope, and if the people that we come in contact with that knows that we're a Christian do not have that hope, their blood is going to be on our hands. God help us to tell others of the hope that is set before us. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 18, it says that by 2 immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. It says, "For whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." This world doesn't have any hope. That's why people are scared. Hey, I know where I'm going. Why? Because I got that hope. I got that. Biblical hope is different than world hope. You ask somebody if they're saved, and you say, "Are you going to go to heaven when you die?" "I hope so." They say, I hope so. Maybe they think like this. Maybe one day my good things will outweigh the bad things I've done, and God will let me in. That's what they're hoping for. But that's works. And works is not how a person gets to heaven. The word hope in the Bible literally means this. It means a confident expectation of eternal life. Confidence. It's because we know that He's made a change in us, and that He has saved us and changed us. So I ask you tonight, I know you're alive. We have 3 things in the verse: life, death, and hope. I know you're alive here tonight. Most of you, I think. I don't think you're dead yet. But do you have the hope? Do you have the hope? I'm not asking if you want to live. I'm not asking if you want to die. I'm asking if you got the hope. Thank you, Pastor Rutledge, for the privilege to be here tonight and just to be here with you a few days in this conference. Thank you, Unity Baptist Church, for your faithful prayers and support. It's not, hey, I want to say one thing before I sit down. Finances will get a missionary in the field. But it's the prayers of God's people that will keep them there. It's harder and harder to raise support as a missionary. But statistically, I used to say I didn't want to be a statistic, Brother Sonny. But everybody's a statistic. You're either a good one or a bad one. Right? Statistically, most missionaries don't stay on the field. So don't forget not just to support your missionaries, pray for them. Pray for them. Thank you, Pastor.